Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the Church of Rome. It's a great letter, powerful. It's so much that we can know and apply. Letters often called the Gospel of God. It's good news in a lot of different areas. He talks about salvation, the Christian life, and the future, and Israel, and the church, and practical applications for our lives. The truths in this letter will help us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. In fact, there are foundational truths here that can help us be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As we continue this morning, we're still in the introduction. It's the first 17 verses of the introduction. Paul, of course, was writing to the believers at Rome. His goal is to instruct them, encourage them, and to help them grow. As we study this passage, we're going to find that Paul's desire, now listen, this is careful. His desire, as we study this passage this morning, his desire is that he would use his spiritual gifts to equip the believers, to help them grow. And we'll see that as we go through it, because we want to be encouraged from our study of this section of the book of Romans. You know, if somebody asked, said to us, how's our prayer life? Probably all of us would say, well, I mean, we need to pray more. I mean, we praying's good, but we'd like to pray a lot more. Why? Why is prayer so important? Well, God tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. He says, keep on praying, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. He says, pray according to the will of God. There are many things every day that we could be praying for. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever prayed that God would use you to touch the lives of other people? I mean, you ever specifically said, God, would you take my life and would you use me to touch other lives for you? Ephesians 4:12 says we're to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. As we look at this passage this morning, we see Paul's prayer. And it's twofold as we look at the prayer. One, he wants to come to the believers in Rome. He's not there. He's in Corinth. He wants to come there. But number two, he wants to be used by God in their lives to help them grow. That's something that every one of us in this room could stop and say, okay, I have trusted in Christ as Savior. Now, God, I want you to take me, use me to touch lives for you. It's powerful. We want to be praying that ourselves. And we think about, as we look at this passage this morning, let's think about our ministry and how God uses us. Let's begin with a brief review. We're not going to put the outline up this morning, but we're in the first 17 verses, and that's the introduction. And we'll get on into the letter a little bit later as we go through it verse by verse. But, of course, Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ, is writing to the believers in Rome. And he calls them, we saw this last couple of weeks, he called them beloved and saints. They're loved by God, and they're set apart by God. We look at that, and we say, what is that? Exactly the same thing. We are loved by God. God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. We are set apart ones. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're called saints, set apart. Now, as we continue, we're going to start with verse 8 this morning. We'll go all the way through verse 15. The details will really be through 8 through about 13. 14 and 15, just going to touch on those, and we'll really get into those next week. But as we look at this, this is Paul's prayer. And we want you to see what he says. Two things. First of all, there's his prayer for the believers. He talks about being thankful for them. I want to come to them. I want to be used by God in their lives. Then there's a second thing that we're going to see in the passage, and that's Paul's service, how he talked about what he wanted to do, and that was to take the gospel to all people. So there's a lot of things that we can see in this passage as we go through it. We want to see it. Let's start with the prayer. And in the prayer, he's thankful. He wants to come to them, and he wants to be used by God. So there's some great things there. And let me ask you this question. What are you praying for? In your life, day in and day out, what are the things that you pray for? I mean, so often we pray for ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that, because he says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known. So there's nothing wrong with making requests for yourself. But have you ever thought about saying, God, I pray you'll use me for your glory. You'll use me and the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that you've given me, that you'll use me for your glory. May we pray that. Well, let's see the prayer. Start at verse 8. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Now, we saw this last time. We ended last week with verse 8, so I'm just going to touch on it. But notice, he's starting off with this prayer, and he wants them to know how much he loves them. He says, first of all, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And he starts off by his first thing is to let them know that he's praying for them. In fact, if you read on in the verses, he talks about that he prays daily. In fact, he prays all the time. He thanks God for these believers. Now, we talked about this last week, that we need to be thankful for each other. We're in this thing together. And if you looked around this room, you say, look, you know, I'm not here by myself. I'm not a Christian by myself. God has put me in a body of believers, and We are here for each other, and we ought to be thankful for each other. We're in the ministry together. We serve together. We are here to help each other. In fact, we are standing together in a spiritual battle. We have to have each other. So we could say, I thank God for you. And, you know, I could say the same thing Paul says. I thank God for you. I thank God that you come. I thank God that you're used by God on the campus and in the community and in the neighborhoods and in our jobs and all this. You're touching lives for Christ. We're in this thing together. So he starts off and says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Then he gets specific. Why? Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. We saw it last week that he says that the fact that they were believers and how they lived and what they did was being reported, was being told about all over the whole world. When it says proclaimed throughout the world, it means reported. Everywhere he would go, people would talk about the church at Rome. Wouldn't it be great that wherever you go, people would talk about you or the church here? Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of testimony? They had a great testimony for Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that as a local church and individually, that we would have lives in such a way that people would know about us and that there would be a great testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, from there, he continues on and he wants them to know just how much he prays for them. Notice verse 9. He says, for God whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son is my witness how as to unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests. In verses 9 and 10, he says, you know, I'm praying for you all the time. And that's one thing that sometimes we forget. We forget to pray for each other. We'll talk more about it in a second, but notice how this verse starts. He says, for God whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son. It literally says, God whom I serve in my spirit. Now, that might confuse you. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about his spirit, and what he's talking about, his inner being. He's talking about his heart and his soul and his emotions. He's saying, I'm serving God full speed. Have you ever heard somebody say something like, look, really put your heart into it? This is what he's saying. He's saying, I serve God totally. It's from my inside. It's from my whole spirit. Paul is saying, when I get up in the day and I want to live for God, I'm saying, God, use me and use me full speed. You know, I used to coach, and sometimes when we're practicing or doing something, you're not necessarily going full speed. And you say, hey, put your heart into this thing. It's important. He's saying that when we serve God, put your heart into this. This is important. This is the greatest thing you're going to do in your life is to live your life for Jesus Christ. Put your heart, your mind, your soul. Say, God, I want my life to count for you. I want to go full speed for you. And so Paul says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit, literally is by my spirit. He says, by my insides, I just really want to do it full speed. And that's how Paul's life was, totally set apart for God. Stop for a minute and look at your life. Are you set apart for God? Totally? Do you serve him? Do you put your heart into it? That's what he's saying. Now, notice what he says. For God whom I serve in my spirit or by my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son. Literally in the Greek it just says, I serve him in my spirit in the son. The whole idea of the gospel of his son. And he's talking about proclaiming the good news. Now, next week what we're going to do is when we get in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, that's what we're looking at next week, we're going to talk about the gospel. We're going to get a little bit more details on it. He just says in this verse that he, in full speed ahead, he is serving God as he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know what the gospel is. It's so clear, and yet some people have it so confused. But the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on the cross and he paid for sin and he rose again. And whoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He died and rose again, taking the sins of mankind on himself. And he paid that penalty, and whoever will trust in him, whoever will believe in him, will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the truth. That's the gospel. He says, I put my heart and soul in putting out that message. Now, you know the message. Is your heart and soul in proclaiming that message to people in this community? When we go out these doors, and it's fun to come together. We come together and we laugh and we sing songs and we pray and we study the Bible and we do all that. But then we scatter out in this community. We call it gathered and scattered. And when we scatter, is our heart and soul in serving Jesus Christ and proclaiming the good news about him. We'll talk more next week about the gospel and all that's involved there. He says, for God whom I serve in my spirit or by my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his son, God is my witness. as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Now, when he says God is my witness, he wants them to know how much they meant to him. Now, why would he say that? Wouldn't it just be enough? I want you to know that, best I can tell from the study of history, that there possibly was the thought that the church at Rome thought Paul should have already visited them. You know, I told you that Paul has never been there. He's never been to Rome. And some of them may be a little bit upset. They think, Paul should have already been here. He's saying, I just want you to know, God's my witness, that I think about you and pray for you all the time. Later on in the letter, he's going to talk about that he wants to come to them. In fact, at the very end of the letter, he's got plans. That is, he goes back to Jerusalem, and then he's going to try to come see them. So he just wants them to know right at the very start, listen, I want you to know, God is my witness. He's saying, God knows that I love you, I pray for you, I think about you all the time, and I'd like to be there. So he says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of his gospel son, is my witness, how as to unceasingly I make mention of you. He says, I pray all the time. Now, the Bible says for us to pray all the time. Do you pray for others? Let me tell you, there's some great things you can do. You can, you know, a lot of times we'll say, somebody will come up to us and say, hey, be praying for me, I got this thing coming up. And you go, I'll pray for you. And then we may never think about it again. We need to be men and women who pray unceasingly. Now, what does he mean unceasingly? How can you do that? Well, the Greek word for unceasingly literally means a hacking cough. You know, you've had a cough sometime and you just have it all the time and you don't think about it. You just go right on through life. Well, that's what he's talking about. That Greek word means to just go on. And we go through life, as we go through life, and we say, I got a cough, but I don't think about it that much. He's saying, we're praying, and we just go through life, and as we drive, and as we talk, and as we walk, and as things come to our mind, we say, Lord, do this, and Lord, do this. And he says, I pray unceasingly for you. What might be a fun thing to do sometime, start at the book of Romans, because that's Paul's first letter. There are 13 letters that Paul wrote. Go through, read the letters. It'll take you a while to do this. But everywhere he says, I pray for you, write down who he's praying for. You will be amazed at the prayer list that Paul had. Now, you think about it. This guy wrote 13 letters, established all those churches, went on 3 missionary journeys, was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and yet he had time to pray for all these people. We say, well, gosh, but I got this and this and this and this and this. Let me tell you, we got time, if we choose to pray for one another. Paul says, how unceasingly I make mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. Do we pray for others? Let me tell you, that might help you. We got a little book in our church office. It's just a prayer book. And inside of it, it's got places that you can pray for people every day. It's got little places you can pray for people certain days of the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You can do anything you want. A good idea, if you don't have one, go by the church office and get one, and then list friends and people and put them, some people on Tuesday and Wednesday and Monday, and pray for people on an ongoing basis. And when somebody comes to you and says, will you pray for me? I got this. You write it down and you pray for them. And then the next time you see them, you go, hey, how's that going? And they go, God answered that prayer. And you go, good, I'll go mark it off and I'll start praying for something else. So if you don't have a way to pray, and let me tell you, you could say, well, I could write down all the people I want to pray for. It'd wear me out. Well, divide it up. Pray for different people. Listen, there's some of you in this room that if you came up and said to me something, I'd say, you're on Wednesday. There's some of you in this room I pray for on Wednesdays. There's some of you I pray on Tuesdays. There's some of you I pray on Saturdays. I have a prayer book, and I can't pray for everybody in one day. Well, I could, but it'd be easier to do it and break it up. So what does he say? He says, I just want you to know, unceasingly I make mention of you. Let's pray for each other. Paul says, I'm thankful for you. I pray for you. Now, look at the start of verse 10. Always in my prayers, making request. This is ongoing. It's ongoing. Now, what did he pray? Two things. One, he says, I'm praying that I get to come see you. And number two, he wants to use his gifts to strengthen them. Now, we'll see that as we go through. But that's a powerful prayer. One of it, I want to come see you. And number two, that I want to use my gifts to touch your life. Look what he says in verse 10. Always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, here it is, I may succeed in coming to you. Now, he's saying, if there's any way, I hope I get to come see you. Now, I want you to notice what he said, by the will of God. Now, when we pray, he tells us to pray for anything you want to. You know, you can pray about anything, anytime, any ways, anywhere. You can pray for anything. You can be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. First, I think it's Luke 16 says you ought to always pray and not stop. First Thessalonians says pray without ceasing. So you can pray about anything. But notice how he clarified it here. If perhaps by the will of God, I might succeed in coming to you. There is an aspect of prayer that when we lift up our prayer request, we don't always know what God's plan is. I mean, the will of God is found in the Word of God, but there are a lot of things we pray for that we just don't know. We say, I want this person to get well, or I hope I get to do this, or I want to pass this, or I want to be a part of this, or if there's any way, and we don't know. And so in many of those prayer requests, we can say, Lord, if it be your will. Now, here's what I'm asking, Lord. I don't know what your will is. If it's your will, I really want this to happen. That's what he says to do. He says, if in any way, at last by the will of God, I can come to you. He wanted to come to them, but he hadn't been able to go yet. And so he's saying, I've been praying that if it's God's will, I'll get to come there. We should pray that way. You remember the book of James, in James chapter 4, it says, a person might say, you know, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to be there for this long and I'm going to make this much money and then I'm going to come back. That's what James says. He says, but you shouldn't say that. You should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to go to this city, stay that long and come back. Because we don't know what God's plan is. We don't know what his plan for our life is. He's a sovereign God who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We rest in him. We trust in him. We go through life. We live our lives based on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as a walk of faith. And yet we say to him, God, here's what I would like, but I don't really know your will. So whatever your will is, but this is my request, if it's your will. Now look what he says. Always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. He wants to be there. In fact, literally in the Greek it says, I might have a good journey to get to come to you. Now, he was in Corinth and he was on his third missionary journey. And the best that we can know from the Bible that his plan was, in fact, from the book of Romans, he tells us that when he gets through at Corinth, he's going to go back through these other churches, take up a collection for the believers in Jerusalem, go back to Jerusalem, give them the money, and then he hopes to go to Spain. And on the way to Spain, he's going to stop in Rome. That's his plan. Read Romans chapter 15. I know many of you are reading the book, you know, a week at a time, you know, over a week, and it's great to do that. You've already read chapter 15. You've seen what Paul said. That's my plan. And so he says, if it's God's will, my plan is to come see you, if that's the plan. You know, it didn't turn out exactly like he prayed. You know, I think in his mind, according to Romans chapter 15, his plan was to give the offering to Jerusalem, then on his way to Spain, stop in Rome, stay there for a little while. He says, be refreshed by you, and then maybe you'll help me get on to Spain and give the message there. But most of you know that when he got to Jerusalem, he got arrested and put in prison for 2 years and then had to appeal to Rome, to Caesar, and then to another 2 years in prison in Rome. So he didn't go like he thought he was going to go. He ended up in Rome, but not exactly like he thought. And sometimes we say, God, here's what I would like. And God says, that's good, but that's not what's best. Trust me, I'm going to work all things according to the counsel of my will. So we pray according to the will of God. He says, if there's any way, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to see you. Now, that's the first part of the prayer, that he would get to come. Now, you know, he was hindered on coming. We'll see this in a few minutes. And we might even ask the question, what was stopping Paul from going to Rome? Some have said Satan was stopping him. Others saying God was stopping him. We're going to see when we get to verse 13 in just a few minutes. We'll see what he says. First part of the prayer, my prayer request is I come to you. Second part of the request is very simply put, notice what he says in verse 11, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. We see very simply, and I can put it in just easy terms for you. He says, my goal is that when I get there, I'll use my spiritual gifts and you may grow as a believer. You may be established. That's his plan. That's what we're supposed to do. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ is Savior, every one of us who know Christ have at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one spiritual gift. And your goal and plan of your life is to take the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given to you and to invest them in other people so that they may be established and grow. That's his prayer. Notice what it says. For I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. Let's look at the first part of the verse. He says, I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. Now, it looks like if you just read it in English that it means I'm going to come give you a gift. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, the word there, impart, literally means to share. And he's saying, I want to share my gift with you, my spiritual gift. You know, Paul was very gifted. He was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was a pastor teacher. He had the gift of teaching, had the gift of tongues, had the gift of discernment. He had all these different gifts. In fact, if you read through about Paul's life, he was an incredible man. Now, he didn't have all the gifts. Nobody has all the gifts. And yet he says, when I come there, what I want to do is I want to use my gift to you. I want to share with you. He wanted to be used by God to exercise his gifts to serve them. That is the plan and the goal of every one of us in this room who know Christ. We're to use our spiritual gifts to equip the saints to do the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and also, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also 1 Peter says, every one of us have spiritual gifts and they're to be used for the common good. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us for each other to build up the body of Christ. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 4, he says he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. He gave us spiritual gifts so that we could equip each other. And so that's what he says. I long to see you that I may share my spiritual gift with you. We all have spiritual gifts. Romans 12 says use our gifts to serve one another. 1 Peter 4 says as each one of us has received a gift, use it in serving one another. So whatever your gifts are. Now you may say, I don't have a clue what my gift is. That's okay. You should know. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you should be able to have an understanding and awareness of where your gifts and strengths are. But we have a thing in our church, it's a spiritual gift inventory that you can take it, fill it out. I'm not telling you that's going to tell you exactly your spiritual gift, but I will tell you that it will show you where your strengths are. And then you can go back to the scripture and you can look at the gifts and you can say, I think that's me. And then what you should do is take your gift and giftedness and tie it into ministries so that you can use your gifts to touch other people's lives for Jesus Christ. You always need to serve out of your areas of strength, not your areas of weakness, but your areas of giftedness. So whatever your spiritual gifts are, Paul says, here's what I want to do. I want to impart some my spiritual gifts, share my gifts with you. That's the plan. Are you using your gifts, talents, and abilities to touch other lives for Jesus Christ? Do you know what your gifts are? Are you using those gifts? Paul says, I'm longing to come there so that I can use my gifts to touch your life. Look at the results. For I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. The Greek word established means to be strengthened, built up, or grounded. He wanted to use his gift so that believers would be grounded in the truths of God's word, that they'd be strengthened so they could grow as Christians. That's the plan. When you and I invest in each other's lives, we're taking the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to us, and we're investing and we're helping each other be strengthened and be established and to grow. I mean, if you've grown any as a Christian, there have been other people who's helped you, who's used their gifts to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the plan. Whatever your gifts are, whatever your talents are, you should be using those. Paul said, here's my purpose and plan, that I would come to you, that I would use my gifts, and my gifts would equip one another so we could do ministry. Now, I want you to understand something. When Paul comes, it's not going to be Paul saying, look, I'm glad I showed up. I've got spiritual gifts. I'd like to help you people. It's something even more special than that. It's the fact that when he got there, he would use his gifts to strengthen them. And guess what? They would use their gifts to strengthen him. Look at the next verse. That is, that I might be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us, by each other's faith, both yours and mine. He says, when I come, we're going to be encouraged together. In fact, the Greek means that we're going to be strengthened together. And that's the bottom line. Every one of us in this room strengthening and helping each other as we use the gifts and talents and abilities together, we help each other grow. That's why I love Ephesians. The Ephesians 4, when I came to Countryside, I've told you all this before, when I came to Countryside, we talked about certain verses that were foundation for this church. And one of them was Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Which is the Great Commission. The other is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipment of saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person. Henceforth, we're no longer children tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, but we grow up and mature. That's the plan. How do we grow up and mature? Each one of us, using the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us, we invest in each other's lives. And that's why Paul says, I'm looking forward to get there so I can use my gifts to you. And that is, we'll be strengthened together from your gifts and faith back and forth. We work together. That's how it works. Now, the sad thing about spiritual gifts and service within the body is that as a whole, our church, I think, is a little bit more unique, but as a whole, only about 10 to 15% of the believers in a local church use their gifts and serve. That means there being between 85 and 90% of the people connected with the church usually don't do anything. They come and they go. They don't use their gifts. So the body is functioning at about a 10 to 15 to 20% level, when if all of us together used our gifts and equipped each other and built each other up and did ministry, no telling what would happen. We would change this world. I mean, sometimes people look around and go, why isn't the church being more effective? It's because only about 10% of the church is doing anything. So he says, here's my plan. I love you. I'm praying for you. I think about you all the time. I want to get there. I'm praying that God will give me a safe trip. When I get there, here's what I want to do. I want to take my gifts and I want to use them with you. And I want you to use your gifts back in my life so that we can be edified and encouraged and built up together. That's his plan. That's what we want for all of us in this room. Now, we're just about through. I want to go quickly and look at verses 13, 14, and 15. I just want to touch on them. I want you to see what he goes on to say. Now, watch. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I might obtain fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. He said, I've tried to come before, but I've been stopped. Now, he wanted them to know, listen, I do care about you. I've been praying for you. I've been telling you over and over that I would love to come if it's God's will. I've tried to come before, but I've been stopped. Now, what stopped him? Some people, as I said a while ago, said Satan stopped him. Other people say God stopped him. I think, personally, that he had other things he had to do. If you'd have said to Paul, why don't you go to Rome right now? He would say, well, I'm still in Corinth, and after that I got to go pick up the stuff. I got to go pick up the offerings. Then I got to go back to Jerusalem, and then maybe then I can go to Rome. So when he says he's prevented thus far, I think he's just saying, I've got other things that God has for me to do, so I can't come right this second. But notice how he ends the verse. He says, I've often, I don't want you to be unaware, I've often planned to come to you, been prevented thus far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. He said, when I come there, I want to see fruit. You know, fruit in the Bible can be a number of things. It can be people trusting Christ. It can be people grow as Christians. It can be people serving and being used. All he's saying is, when I come there, I want to see things happen. My prayer is to come and to see you grow and to see God do great things through you. That's a prayer we have for all of us in this room. We want to see God use each of us to make an impact for Christ. Remember last week I talked about, how do you want to be remembered? A nice person or a person who stood for Christ? A person who had an impact for Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. And so he says, I'd like to come. I've been prevented so far, but one of these times I'm going to come so I can have fruit. I want you to look at verses 14 and 15 very quickly, and then we'll get these next week. We see his obligation, what he really wants to do. Notice, I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to do what? To preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now, Paul says something very powerful. We're going to see more details on this next week. He says, this passage says, I am under obligation. Some Bibles actually read, I am a debtor. That means he has a duty, a responsibility, a debt to proclaim the gospel. And it's to all people. Notice he says, to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the foolish, I'm eager to preach the gospel. Now you realize something. You have the privilege of telling people about Jesus Christ. You also have the responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ. Next week when we look at this passage in detail, we're going to see that we're debtors to two things. We're debtors to people and we're debtors to God. We owe people and we owe God, so that we tell the good news message. Now, he says, I am under obligation to the Greeks, to the barbarians. Now, every time I see barbarian, I think of Conan the Barbarian, you know, and I mean, don't y'all? I mean, you know, but the Greeks, the word Greek, of course, the idea meant a Greek-speaking person to a Greek. Anybody who didn't speak Greek was a barbarian. The word has an idea of an uncivilized. So all the Greeks thought they were better than anybody else. See, and if somebody didn't speak Greek, they just had to be a barbarian. But all it means is Paul is saying, I have a debt to not only the Greek people, but to all other people, to the wise, to the unwise. We'll see details next week, but the word wise literally means those who do what's right, and unwise mean those who do what's wrong. He said, I have an obligation to all people everywhere to do what? For my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ. The gospel is the message that brings salvation. Paul said, I am under obligation to proclaim to all people the truth of Jesus Christ and salvation. We are too. We'll see more of that next time. What have we seen? Paul's prayer to the Romans. He says he thanks them for their testimony. Thanks God for their testimony. He plans to come to them. His goal is to use his gift in gifts so that they can be built up and they can build him up. He says the plan is he's tried to come many times. He's been stopped so far. He wants to have fruit among them. And ultimately, he is a debtor to take the good news message to all people. Let me give you some applications. The first one is let's pray for one another. I mean, that's what this whole thing is, beginning at verse 8 through where we are, is a prayer. And he prayed over and over and said, I long to see you. I've been praying for you. I want this and this. So let's pray for each other. And if you need to, come by the church office and say, I want one of those prayer books. We'll get them for you. And if we run out, we'll make more. I mean, we'll just get them all. So if you want one, and then you can pray and you can write down things and you can lift up people. We pray that we'll have a good testimony. Pray that we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pray that we'll have an impact for Christ. That's what you want to do. Second thing, and the second application is let's use our spiritual gifts to serve one another. That's what he says. He says, when I come, I want to use my gifts to invest my life in you so you can grow. And then he says, in the same way, you do the same thing. So whatever gifts you have, use those to serve. Now, you may say, Jimmy, I'm not even sure what my gift is. Come talk to me. I'll get you the spiritual gift thing. We'll talk through the Bible. You need to be aware of where your strengths are, where you're gifted, so that you can be used by God to touch lives. And it's each of us together. So just remember, you're not alone in this. We're all in this thing together, using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us. The final application is this. Let's realize our obligation to all people is to proclaim the gospel. Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. We'd say it this way, we're obligated to all people to take the message of Jesus Christ. Do you know the gospel? Can you share your faith? Are you looking for the opportunities? Are you praying for people around you that you might get to talk to them? If you do that, if you pray for the opportunities and you're ready, you will have opportunities. God will put people in your life so that you can share your faith. We are indebted to God and indebted to people to take this message. May we pray for one another. Pray that we'll have a good testimony. May we pray that we will use the gifts, talents, and abilities that we have to equip each other to do the work of the ministry so the body can be built up. May we realize that we have a great obligation to proclaim the gospel to all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great morning, a great passage. Lord, the book of Romans is just so full. Help us to understand it, make application. Thank you, Lord. We have the privilege that we get to pray for each other. We get to lift up requests. And so, we just pray for each other. May we get books and write them down and remember and pray and pray without ceasing for each other. Lord, we also realize that you've gifted every one of us at least one spiritual gift, for many others, maybe more than one gift. May we use those gifts. May we see ourselves as a body of Christ using the gifts to equip each other to do the work of the ministry. And Lord, last but not least, we have the obligation, we're debtors to people and even to you, to proclaim the good news message. May we know it and share it, and may we see people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, thank you for this passage. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.